we understand the show isn't for everybody, but some of you don't understand that this show isn't for everybody. And if you don't like the racial tone sometimes, you're going to be offended again. It's not going to change. And if I get a bunch of emails complaining about how we're being stereotypical about Jews, that only means I'm going to switch to a different race. Today, Indians.
Hey, all you assholes, come and listen to us. It's the Keith and the Girl Show.
Welcome back, doll.
Hey, babe. All right, so last time we attacked the Jews, and I think that's okay. I'm a Jew. But I think, actually, we're not even attacking, really. We're just kind of talking about generalizations, and I guess we're being very stereotypical. And
we got some emails, but this is a post on our comment board.
Shycom Lipson.
Shycomlipson.com. And it's not like it's a mean post. My gosh, they're haggling and, quote, that's their way? So offensive. Unfortunately, they're jerks of every ethnic background. Don't take that as a representative of the entire people. Stop perpetuating stereotypes.
Now, I agree that there's jerks with every race, and a lot of times that brings the race down because people just meet the one person of that race and decide, that's everybody. But obviously, if I'm going to have a whole show about Jews and the stereotypical things about Jews, like how they're aggressive and haggly, it's okay for me to say it. I lived there. My mom's from there. I'm giving you examples from my mom, and she's not a representative of all Israelis, but from being around them so much, I think I'm okay to say it. And then he can't be racist because he's dating one of them. So it's kind of like a weird thing, like we're perpetuating something. Obviously, we're okay with Israelis, and we're okay with whatever.
They're haggling, and that's their way? We were talking about your mom.
It is their way, though, and I gave an example. And I like that post, but and I'm not coming down on that guy, but it is their way because it's a country full of places where you have to haggle. So it's like a tradition. You can't just say it's not their way. It is. And maybe a few people are not haggling or are not in the spirit of haggling, but they might be the minority. I think Israelis are getting out of the haggly way because Israel is no longer like a sort of like a bartery thing or a market, like an outdoor marketplace. It's got, you know, these huge malls and all the streets are now paved and everything is becoming very either Americanized or more European. So it's, you know, they're fading out of that, but you can't say that Israelis are not aggressive. Look what's going on in their country. They probably feel like they have to be aggressive all the time. They're under attack a lot. It's just the way it is.
And again, I'm not picking on Mike that posted this, but I want to know where he's from. What's his race and where's he from?
And that's a good point. Like whenever somebody's from that place, they always say stereotypical stuff. Like black people say like, oh, you know, I'm going to come on CP time because it's color people time. Because they understand that black people come late. I understand Israelis come late. I always tell my friends a half an hour before you have to actually get there. And I'm talking about Israeli friends, black friends. A lot of ethnicities come late. But you say that about your own race, about your own culture, and you know that it's true. It's just when it's coming out of hate, it's a different situation. It's not coming out of hate here.
Right. Oh, this is coming out of hate, though.
Oh, God.
So I did this, I'm doing a clown party for Indians, like the real, I don't know, what do you call it? But the real Indians with the girls have the dresses with the gold sequins.
Sorry.
Is that what it is? Yeah. And, I go downstairs, like, okay, they're all ready for you. Ready to go? You go downstairs, and everybody's, so many kids sitting on the floor, Indian style. No pun. I'm serious.
That's a different Indian.
No, that's just how they're sitting.
But that's not what they mean when they say Indian
style. Oh, right.
Okay. So I thought you were saying that on purpose.
They're sitting leg cross style with their ass on the floor. And I don't mean nothing offensive. And their legs scissor locked, kind of. So they're all sitting a certain position.
Waiting for your magic, literally.
Right. So I start doing magic, and nothing. Not See, one ooh.
But as you, like, I think we've said before, we are not magicians, but we do magic where, like, the kids are involved, and really everything that we do depends on their reaction, because we're like, look at this, and can you put this on? And if it's an overly... calm
and it's not
group.
Bad though. It's not bad magic.
No, like, it's good. And
yeah, it, when I see you, when you showed them to me, I was amazed like an idiot.
Yeah, but it's not, you know, it's not like we do sleight of hand or anything where it's just doing it. It's like very audience participation-y. Right. So if there's no audience participation, it seems like it's at half. It's at half.
It's almost like I'm doing stand up and nobody's laughing.
Exactly. It's still funny, but it's not that cool.
And also, I'm doing this stuff and not, they just stare between tricks.
They're just staring
they're
at
just,
you.
They just stare. And I'm like, okay, here's another one. And you could tell it's because they're like so polite, but it's too much.
Yeah, I've had those parties. Like, they're such good kids.
Fun.
They're such good kids, and they're so polite, and they're so, like, almost beaten with it, you know, not literally.
No pun? I don't know.
I don't think so.
These elephants that can ride bicycles in the circus, you know what I mean? Maybe that's why these Indian kids are real nice.
Oh no! I just think that it's part of the culture, like to just be overly. I just did.
When you can just look at your kid and they stop like that, that kid was never hit.
My parents did that to me. They just gave a look. They gave that look. Andrea was just talking to me about this the other day. She said that you know how you always have to give a kid a warning before you actually punish them. She said that her mother's warning was the look, and you get that look.
Right, right,
and
then,
that's it.
And then she knew if she didn't, she'd get punished.
Right.
So how did the Indians get punished?
I'm telling you, just like in the Jewish culture, just like my parents did, they never really punished us, but they were disappointed, and you don't want to be disappointed.
Maybe punishment is you have to wear those outfits.
So I just did a one of those four-hour face painting things, and it was for this family. The mom just opened up a practice. She's a doctor. She just opened it up, and then they got pizza for everyone in the middle. And all their families there, their cousins came, and we just figured the pizza was for them, not for the people working there to promote their new business. The father was like, you have to come have pizza, and I'm on a diet and I can't have pizza. And he would not take no for an answer until finally had to go in there, take the pizza, bring it into the RV that the people were in, and just go, does anybody want pizza? Because he refuses for anyone to not... while they're in his establishment, not eat. It's such a polite, big polite thing. And then the other thing I was going to say is his son came into the room to get pizza, and he's like, you will not have pizza until all these guests have pizza. And the son just walked right out. And he just, it's such a polite thing. My mom was taught when she went to people's house, and you know how you have like little nuts and little whatevers, like little hors d'oeuvres. Mm-hmm. Do not touch the little hors d'oeuvres until somebody actually passes it over to you. And you can't touch anything until somebody gives it to you. You know, here, like, you know, you see hors d'oeuvres, that's for you. You go for it. But it's the big cultural polite thing.
That's why it's so hard when they come over and you're trying to offer people something. And they don't, like, what do you want to drink? Whatever.
Right.
All right, well, here's the orange juice. Here's the milk. Here's the Coke. Here's the beer. Here's the vodka.
And that's what was happening here. It's overly polite where it becomes uncomfortable for most people around you. Like, oh, no, that's okay. Oh, no, you go first. No, you go first. No, you go first.
Even my own brother would come over. And it's like, what do you want to drink? Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, okay, eggnog and orange juice. There you go.
Keith wanted to start making whatever drinks. Oh, whatever. You'll drink anything I give you. Okay, let's give you this.
I started doing balloons for the Indians. And so I start making them swords because you give boys swords. That'll start the party.
Right.
It doesn't matter what country and what's going on over there. But then I didn't know if that was okay because I just figured Indians are some kind of extra religion, you know, like, you know, like some Orthodox Jews won't let you face paint. So I checked, is face painting okay? Yeah, sure. And I'm like, okay, I don't know because look at the way you guys dress. To me, it seems like that's some kind of religion almost. So anyway,
it is a religion though.
So I start making swords and then they're having fun and they're you know, play fighting, and they're not getting out of hand at all.
Are they being a little wild? Like, are they going, yeah, yeah, bah! That kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. That, and then, so, not the one that seems to be the dad, this other Indian comes over to me and says, can you talk to him and, you know, get everybody to calm down a little bit? Get everybody to sit down and calm down.
It's a party.
It's a party. That's good. I'm going to look like a fucking jerk off. Okay.
It's a party for four-year-olds, and you want the clown to go, everybody please calm down.
With this wacky face. You guys are out of hand.
With all your makeup on.
I've never seen such thing. So then they sit down, they calm down, and so I'm making, I cut the magic show a little early because it wasn't working at all, and I'm making all these balloons. And then another Indian comes over. It's like a group. Like, they're all together, the guys. Like,
it takes a village type of situation.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly, to set this up and pay a bill. And another one comes over to me. Can you do something exciting to get the kids?
So nobody had a powwow before the village started raising anyone.
Right, no pun, yeah. So.
That's not the same Indian.
Powwow. So
not the same.
And then the guy comes over and goes, do you do magic? Do you do tricks? I'm like, yeah, we did our magic show. We already did magic show. I don't have more
by
tricks.
By the way, you know you do that a lot. I'm just interrupting your story. Mm-hmm. You always say we when it comes to you. Mm-hmm. You hate saying the word I. It's
really?
Very difficult. Yeah. You'll say we're going to be doing our stand-up show. Who's we?
Well,
you're going to be doing the stand-up show.
It's not all
show.
About me.
It's so...
So then we... I...
I threw you off. We threw you off.
He's like, okay, you already did tricks. That's the end. So somebody else comes over. Can you do something more exciting with the kids so that they participate and get into it? I was. So the only thing left is turn into SpongeBob and do some dancing. So I'm like, I can do SpongeBob and do some dancing. Okay, whatever you want. Okay, that's good. That's good. I'm like, now I'm in SpongeBob early. I didn't even want to do costumes.
Oh, this was early?
Yeah. Yeah, I was SpongeBob for like 40 minutes as opposed to 20 minutes.
Because you ended up not doing face painting?
Right. I didn't do face painting and they were sick of balloons.
Because they wanted excitement, so you had to get into SpongeBob.
Right, so I come down as SpongeBob and just, getting kicked and punched and then they're getting excited.
Wait, who's kicking and punching?
The Indians, by the way.
But
they
thought everyone was...
They can kick and punch. You know what? Everybody is so polite normally, but kids can't help it. When they see a costume, they have to kick and punch it.
They were kicking and punching after sitting so
politely.
They
can't help it in their defense. It's a giant thing.
You're defending
thing.
Them.
Yes, it's a thing in your house. You got to punch it.
I guess because nobody grew up with this.
It's
like
not
a
real.
It's like a new generation thing to have a character. So we didn't learn the etiquette of how to treat a character in
so
your
you
house.
So you would punch it. You honestly believe SpongeBob is in your house. You need to punch it.
To see if it's real. It's a cartoon. How is
it
in your house?
Right. It's made out of drawing. How can it get hurt? So they're punching me just fine. And then often, one of the dads would, stop somebody. And then we take pictures. Oh, we take pictures. And the Indians were doing this too. They stick the kid on. And the kid would cry and can't
stick
take it.
Stick the kid
on
your
my
lap.
Lap to take a picture. And the kid starts kicking me. But starts like running off me. Like he tries to, his kicks start at the knees. Because he's sitting on me. And then, like, go up my leg and then up my stomach until he can almost fly. You know what I mean?
He's trying to run off.
Yeah, he's trying to run off my body like an airplane. So that happens a couple times. And the Indians, for, being so polite and stuff, like, no, you're taking a picture.
I really think, like, if somebody's going to pay for something, they want it all the way, regardless of what it's going to do to everybody around them.
Maybe they'll take the picture, and in the picture, it looks like he's laughing to the point of tears because he's having so much fun. And one kid sits down and right away does that jump off. First of all, people don't understand that I'm this big SpongeBob costume that my hands can't really close.
It's a very uncomfortable costume because it's made in, like, actually as a square. It's SpongeBob SquarePants, so the actual costume is square. So in order to wrap your arms around someone, you have to go through that outside square part. Yeah. So you almost can't touch both hands. Like, you almost can't clap, that kind of thing.
Right.
So to hold somebody's child, you have no grip, and they're just, like, laying little kids on you.
Yeah, it's so hard. And I'm 6'2", so my arms aren't short, and it's hard for me, so other people can't do it. But any costume, though, any costume, use your brain, parents. Any costume, you got these retarded mitts, you can't see anything. Parents will just drop their kid on you like you have them. They put the kid on me and leave. The kid does the kickoff, lands face first on the ground.
No.
Yeah. And I'm like, and then on the Indians just laugh a little bit.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like, he'll be okay. We beat him harder than that.
Oh! How do you think they got so polite? Oh, my God.
Do you want to sit on my lap again? Then behave.
But then they, so it came to the end of the party and you're already out of the costume?
So I'm out of the costume. I'm in a different part of the house waiting for my money. Everything's taken long. People see me, one at a different people. All the guys coming back with the money. Somebody else finds my camera that I lent them. Until finally one of the guys hands me what I think is money and it's really a cell phone. And so ever get like a cell phone? I thought it was like the Matrix or something. Like, get out. Get out. I'm looking for Windows. And I answer the phone. I'm like, yeah, hello. And it's a girl from the clown agency.
Right.
What are they complaining about? Like, what?
That's the first thing you hear on the phone.
Yeah, what? And everybody's so polite. These Indians were nothing but smiles the whole time. What are they complaining about? You didn't do a magic show. You did do a magic show. I'm like, I have no idea. They just handed me a phone.
That's their way of complaining. They don't say impolite things to people. Right. They hand people the phone for other people.
So they'll call. Right. They turned us on each other.
Right.
Very clever.
They called and said, we just want you to talk to the clown. And so the office just thinks like, are they complaining?
Maybe they'll call the clown agency, you know, I'll tell you the call, but they'll call the clown agency to complain. But all the clown agency has to say is, why don't you come in and meet us in person and we'll talk about it. And then they'll come and go, everything was good.
Oh, yeah, because they can't do it.
So he goes, they said you didn't do a magic show. Somebody came up to you and asked, do you do magic? Are you going to do magic? And you said, no, I won't. And I'm like, I said I already did magic.
Are they speaking full English? They're English speaking.
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Yes. They are.
So this isn't like a communication situation.
Right, correct.
Okay.
They said you didn't do magic. Then I said, you didn't, he didn't do magic? And they said, yeah, you did do magic. I'm like, I don't know. There's like five people in charge. The guy that handed me the phone isn't the guy that talked to me about the magic, isn't the guy that told me to calm down the balloons, isn't the guy that told me to get into the SpongeBob, isn't the dad. I don't even know who this guy is.
Now, are you sure? Because a lot of times, and this is so not racist.
Oh, they do look alike, but...
No, everyone looks
alike.
No,
they don't. They didn't really look alike.
No, but everyone looks alike to me at a party. Because you're going to have
I look at outfits now. I'm like, that's orange stripe.
Right. Because if you're going to have a party with only your people, and I'm not talking about just your race. I'm talking about it's almost like if you go to the Upper East Side, it's not just white people. It's white people all dressed in polos. It's white people all dressed in the same khakis. It's white people
in the same haircut.
In the same haircut. The women look alike. They're all they're all following the same fashion trends and the same they're following the same one icon. It's like somebody gave them a doll and goes, everyone looks like that. So a lot of parties are like that. And it's like you go to this party, everyone's in cornrows. You go to this party, everybody has blonde straight hair that obviously has been blow-dried that way. So I'm trying to figure out, did I just talk to you? Yeah. Your husband looks like her husband. I don't know who I'm talking to anymore. So are you sure you're talking, like, did everyone just have a turban on?
No, because I remember when the dad had glasses and was smooth-shaven.
Okay.
The only time I'd be confused is if they had that little pointy Indian nose. It's like short and pointy, and the head of mustache. A lot of people had that, but otherwise these people were all different.
You
know what I mean? No.
Pointy Indian
nose.
They
have a certain nose. It's like a little sharp.
I don't know. I'm not even. I think Indian noses are for the most part really cute.
I think they're adorable. I didn't say that. Anyway. I want to kiss them. So that's it, and I'm like. And I'm like, I don't know. That's what happened. All these people are different. And they're telling me to do different things. But magic was 20 minutes at least. So there's no problem. So she gives him back the phone. And, you know, and then he goes to the other side of the house to finish talking to her, you know.
Right.
And like, you can tell people are watching, like, so I don't start a confrontation or whatever. And then I just hear it in the back. You know?
Are you serious? They're watching so that it doesn't escalate?
I think.
Wow.
Yeah. Like that. You see him leave and slowly the door closes. Like slowly, real slow. Like, you know, somebody's on the other end just pushing the door closed. Like, oh, it just happens to be going by the wind. Do you know what I mean? And then I can hear him like, okay, I talked to this boss. It says the boss's name. I'll talk to them on, you know, whatever day. And then he comes over and is like, thank you very much. Here's your money.
And he pays you in full with no other word.
Right. So, okay, thanks.
So you don't even know what they wanted that they didn't get.
Right. I don't know. They wanted the kids to be more... excited and do things, but yet at the same time remain totally calm and not act like kids. And apparently I didn't know how to deliver.
They should have hired someone Indian who probably knows the magic spell to put on that.
Right. Oh, I was so nervous when I'm like, who knows a magic word? And they didn't. Nobody knew a magic word.
Oh, wow.
Right there, right in the beginning. You know, you asked him who knows a magic word. You're all Indians. You don't know magic words?
Oh, God.
Nobody knows a magic word. Ask Grandpa. He's in the corner meditating.
Those are magic words that you don't reveal to anyone.
Oh, something really happens. They say it, exactly. It starts raining. I'm like, I didn't know. It's just a little joke I do.
But they don't know magic words. Remember, an ex-agent was telling us that Indians don't ever hire. That's like a new generation thing, that they hire clowns or entertainment for their party. So the parents, they're not used to like abracadabra. And I also think, like, people don't know what to expect when the clown comes. They expect, like, a whole lot because they think they're paying a whole lot. And so when it's, like, even a smidge of what they don't think it is. It's like how when people plan their wedding, they just automatically expect it to be this big thing that they're just going to automatically have a huge feeling in the morning of their wedding day. They're going to, you know, everything will be magical. As people enter, you know, the flowers will be flying. Like, and they get so stressed out about it that there's no way the party's going to be good. I think it's similar to that on a smaller scale.
I agree. Like, even if you did something and everything went good, and then you're done, because and the parents should know because you already spelled everything out. That's it?
I hate the that's it thing.
And sometimes they don't even mean it mean, you know? They're just like, that's it? Is there something else you need, or can I help you with something? No, okay, that was good.
Right, and the worst is like when they say that's it, and like you're still sweating.
Right.
You're still sweating, and the kids are like, thank you, yay, thank you. Is that it? We'll ask the kids. I don't know.
I don't know if we're going to get our phone today, because we have to go to your dentist appointment.
Yeah.
You excited?
I'm so scared.
Explain how gross your wisdom teeth are breaking into your
teeth.
Thank
you so much, yeah.
It doesn't look bad to look at, you can't tell.
Yeah, you can. I don't think you knew what you were looking at.
You have to open your mouth.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, what happens is...
you have to talk.
But, like, I think 6, 7, or 8 years ago, something like that, my wisdom teeth started growing in, and right away they started killing me. And around that time when they first started coming in, I was in so much pain. I remember crying from it. I was like, just shoot me in the head. And recently, one of the wisdom teeth, and they're already kind of out, but they're facing... not up like how they are, not up or down. They're facing the rest of the teeth. So they're growing into, literally into the
sideways.
Rest of the teeth. Yeah, sideways. So it used to, when it was first growing in, it used to not only hurt like coming out of the flesh in the back, excuse me, this is so gross, but it actually used to hurt the rest of my teeth because they were like kind of moving them. If anyone ever had braces, like that's the feeling when they tighten it. And it's obviously like supposed to be moving because you're trying to move it. That's what my wisdom teeth was doing. And I know that
you have like reverse braces.
Exactly. And I used to have braces. Now my teeth are scrunched up because
The wisdom teeth?
I think because I didn't wear my retainer. And then a little bit because of my wisdom teeth. Like there's just no room for my teeth. So now I'm thinking as soon as I get my wisdom teeth pulled out, my teeth will just kind of move to the back a little bit. Yeah, I would love that. So what happened is my right bottom wisdom tooth, I don't know if this is interesting, but... It grew, and I think, like, it just is rotting out of my mouth, and there's a hole in the middle, and I think it's black, and...
It's black.
It's black, yeah.
And B, that is fucking interesting.
That is so gross. You kiss me.
You can hide stuff in
You
there.
Put your tongue in that mouth, by the way.
Not in the tooth.
I'll make you do it in the tooth next time. So, anyway, so...
There's a quote.
So my teeth start hurting me. What's my point here? It's just, it got so low that it just starts hurting, and it starts hurting so much that my arm, my right arm, I can't lift it. Like, how fucked up is that? My whole body starts hurting, but my arm the most, because somehow my ear starts hurting when my tooth hurts. And now the top teeth also, right above it to the right, my top teeth started hurting as well. So Saturday night, I did a Sweet 16. I danced. And just as I was leaving, my tooth started hurting. It was a 1 hour drive back. By the time I got home, I had already cried in the car. You don't know this. And oh my God, thank God nobody was in the car with me. I was yelling in the car. I was like, oh my God, make it stop, make it stop. I was like a retard, like a crazy person. I was like, I can't deal. And by the time I got home, I was literally shaking. And he looked at me like he's, well, he's seeing a ghost, and got some Ambisol. I'm putting Ambisol like crazy. I'm not into taking pills at all. I was like, how many Aleves am I allowed to take? How many Motrins am I allowed to take all at once?
I don't know if you were asking. You're like, I'll take another one. Yeah. I'll take them all.
And I couldn't speak. I was like, bleh, bleh, bleh. And we learned sign language that day,
mm-hmm.
didn't we?
Mm-hmm. It was charades all night.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And I was so exhausted. I just got finished dancing 3 hours. And I'm tired to begin with from the day. Like, we woke up early. Yeah. And so as soon as all the pain went away from the pain medicine and the Ambisol, I know as soon as the last pain left, I just dropped to sleep. That's pain from a tooth.
We were up all night that night, though, till like 4 or 5, 4 in the morning at
till
least.
Till 3. 4?
I think, because Cops was on like around 3.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Then we were up really late, and we had to wake up at like 7 in the morning the next day. Oh, my God.
It's VH1 goes inside Cops, and it's a best of. It's just the best of Cops.
And VH1 stands for what? Video?
Video Hits One.
Hits? Oh, okay. But they have...
And this is like video hits.
Right. Oh, because they're videos and they're a hit with the people.
Right.
Right. So VH1 just makes up these themes, like as if it's okay to play anything. So they'll go, hey, this is a weekend of movies that rock. So they can spin it each way. It's movies that have rock in it or music in it, or it's just movies that are really cool and they rock.
Well, for 2 minutes... During the VH1 Goes Inside Cops, they talked about how they got the song Bad Boys, Bad Boys.
Ah.
So there you have your music angle.
Actually, that's a pretty good story, though. They didn't just take any song. They took any song. They didn't take a song that was already popular. They actually took people's demo tapes. Mm-hmm. Like, they just listened to hundreds of demo tapes, and they took that. So that was an unknown artist. How much money is that guy making?
And they said the producer... It's a great show. VH1 Goes Inside Cops.
It was sick.
It's so good. But they said, like, the studio or whatever said, no, you can't have this song. It's terrible. And they're like, yeah, okay. And they just kept it.
Yeah.
Like, you got to change the song. Yeah, okay. And they kept it. And now it's,
and can you imagine,
now it's part of it.
And that's you watching going, like, you fought for my song?
Right.
Like, for... When I say bad boys, what you gonna do? Like, how weird is that? Imagine writing a lyric like, right. I put my shirt on, and then they have some show that somehow it goes with it.
Right.
and I don't really watch Cops a lot, but that was a pretty... I hate doing this when I watch shows. Like, I actually respond. Like, I go, oh, ooh, yowza! I don't really do yowza, but...
We do that whenever the bad guy gets away from the fat cop. Yowza!
I don't know how you don't respond. I'm always like squeezing your hand all of a sudden, and you're like, yeah, that happens.
I do things like if a bad guy gets like the edge and throws a cop to the ground, I go... Wah, 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 wah.
You're such an asshole. I love this show.
So, but you see all the... You're like... It's like you're... half these people are probably out of jail by now, and then they can see they made the best of.
Yeah.
And what my question is, when
they signed
somehow they got them to sign the release, said they gave them $200 or...
Did they say that they gave them $200?
They didn't say. They acted like they were going to say how the release works. We're always amazed when people sign the release. And I'm like, okay, how's that work? You know, do they just scribble out of hate and you're like, I think that counts as your signature.
I think that's really weird that people are allowed to sign official documents while they're so intoxicated
that
they don't even know that they're hitting a cop, and somehow that sticks.
Right.
Like, do you have to, maybe that's why they didn't want to talk about it, you know? Right. It's like, he was so drunk, he just signed it,
right.
You know? So, like, if I was Johnny Law, I'd be like, you have to go in after he's sober, and after...
Well, if you're Johnny Law that just got punched in the face, you might let it go.
That's true. Okay.
And then, but now you made a best of. I understand you need money, and you need that $50.
I don't think they give him money.
But if you
make... You just punched a cop. They're going to give you money on your way to jail after they read you your rights?
Maybe they act like,
no
way. We're going to reduce your sentence from 20 years to 5 years if you sign this.
They should show video clips of that. Maybe something shady, because they're not showing that.
Like, let me see. You sign this. the cop sees that you're working with us and you're sorry.
Probably. Right? Probably. That makes sense.
But you got to plan some other deal and go, look, I know you can show this throughout the whole universe.
Because it actually says in contracts.
Right, and elsewhere, just in case someday.
Right.
But if I make it on a best of, that's a new thing we got to work out.
Wouldn't that be amazing if you're if you start negotiating
yeah,
with them?
Yeah. Like, I don't think there's going to be a best of. Well, I'm just saying. I want
$1,000.
I think
I did a pretty good job back then, and I think you're going to want to have it in the best of.
And I get $50 for each time, because you know you did a good one, a good car chase or something.
Right.
So three cops got hurt seriously, and like, okay, if you show promos during every commercial you show my thing, my good thing at the very end, and, you know, then I want $50 for each of those. You get arrested and you're on cops, your first call should be to an agent. And you work some shit out. Be smart about it.
Right, right.
Cops. I mean, cop, you know what I mean. Thank you.
To what else?
We went to that freak art house again last night.
Collective Unconscious. And people, Face Boys Open Mic.
People just doing... It wasn't so nutty last night. It wasn't so funny. It wasn't so crazy.
It was fun, nutty. That guy was running around in circles on stage like a kid.
But
he doesn't know. He didn't perfect. He was running around in circles to the right, but he didn't perfect it to the left. But he was going to show it to us anyway.
And he stopped it. And it's like he had an epiphany. He's like, you know, I never thought of that. I've never walked in a circle to the left.
Right.
I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And he's walking in a circle and then gets more in the circle and he moves his body like he's getting sucked into the circle.
And he starts going, I'm going to fall. I'm going to fall. And you're like, okay,
you
this
know,
is art.
You know, yeah, you know that was, he learned that in some acting class 40 years ago.
Oh, and I whispered to Keith while this was happening, I go, do you think he's on drugs right now? Or is this just like leftover from his crazy drug days?
It's the residue of all these people.
Because I want to tell you, I almost took my cousin to this place who I knew was starting like to get really bad. Like she just entered her teenage years and she's her whole attitude switched. She was like She used to read a whole lot of books and you know, just be like really sweet. And all of a sudden she's like this, books, that's for retards. And everything's like, oh my God, and blah, blah, blah. And so we kind of saw her coming into maybe experimenting with drugs. So I was like, let me bring her to this place and see how, like, this is what happens when you're on drugs. Your face gets all fucked up because everyone's like, all those guys are really skinny and their face is caved in. Your face gets fucked up. You think you're doing something interesting on stage. You're really making a fool of yourself. Everyone's looking at you funny and you don't even have to be on drugs anymore. That's what happens.
Do you think that if you have like an ounce of craziness in you and you go to a surf reality and you start doing weird shit on stage, it makes you crazier?
Yes.
I think so.
Yes. I told you the first time that I think I'm not crazy, but I'm a little...
cuckoo.
And I... I didn't know that I was crazy. I thought I was so straight. And when I first went there, I thought I was too straight to go on stage and just like randomly sing some, you know, song that I learned when I was younger or whatever. So at the time I was doing a lot of, it was when Pocahontas, the movie came out. I was doing a lot of Pocahontas for kids parties. So I borrowed the costume from the agent. You're such an asshole. I borrowed the costume from the agent and I stood up there and I did a Pocahontas thing because I just thought you had to do something crazy when you get on stage. And then slowly, like, it's that whole you're okay no matter what mentality that is advocated over there. So you start really believing that. Like, so what if I dress funny? I'm still okay. So what if I didn't bathe today? I'm okay. Mm-hmm. And then you just become, like, you forget that this is not all of society. This is just Sunday night society. Yeah. This is just your social engagement once a week.
What would be great is you have that guy that was going in circles or any of these weirdos that are nuts on stage. Then you meet him outside and they're normal. That would be cool.
You know, it was kind of like you. You're a jerk when you're on stage and you're kind of nice outside of stage.
Thank you.
Sometimes. I take that back.
Well, it depends if I'm around Jews or Indians.
Right.
I'm doing performance art right now. You get it?
David Sedaris wrote about that.
Performance art?
Yeah, yeah. Do you remember that?
No.
in Me Talk Pretty one day. I know we spoke about this book before, but he had one chapter where it was named something like performance art. And basically he was doing like heavy drugs at the time. I can't remember what. It was acid or something that really messes with your mind. And he invited everyone to his show, and he's watching like something like glue drop, and he's so fascinated with it, and he thinks it's the most incredible show. And it's just because he's on drugs and everyone's just sitting, and his dad's in the audience, and his dad starts heckling him. And you don't remember this?
No, but vaguely.
But it all made sense to me because I remember people getting on stage and I'm like, what the hell? And duh, drugs.
Yeah.
That makes you think a lot of people are interesting.
Yesterday was all rolling on the floor day.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people rolled on the
floor. Every other act is just people rolling on that stage. And they're dressed nice enough, you know, and they're...
I guess, they look like they thought about their outfit,
to act like they didn't think about their outfit.
Right.
This is my fuck society, I didn't think about this outfit.
Right, but I know where she got that shirt from, and it's from, you know, this trendy store.
Right.
But it just looks like, you know, it's been cut up, but the store cut it up for you.
Right. From that Kmart you were protesting 2 years ago.
Oh, I once saw a protest for Starbucks, did I tell you?
No.
It was in around where Union Square is, I think. And it was a protest for Starbucks. And I was just walking with my friend. And we go, what's this protest about? And the guy didn't even, I think it was a girl, who knows? And they didn't even know. They're just protesting. What are you protesting in Starbucks? What? Because the coffee's too expensive? Move along and go to the corner coffee shop. Right. Who cares? What are they doing? That's all.
We you and me were walking somewhere. I forget where. Oh, to another performance thing.
What other performance then?
Andrea was dating somebody.
Oh.
And we saw his show.
And in her defense, he was amazing when we first saw him.
What, beatboxer, right?
Yeah. Unbelievable. It was pretty impressive. And he was there with another friend who beatboxes, and I think someone who played the violin or some sort of string instrument, and also does some stuff on the vocals. Very, very cool. Very impressive, and really got like a good energy into the room. So we're thinking we're going to go see something like that.
They put a tarp down on the stage. And right there, you're like, oh, no.
And they put a...
That never turns out good, right. You know?
Anytime you lay something down. Although sometimes...
Jon Stewart doesn't start his show with a tarp on the ground.
Although sometimes the tarp means they're getting naked and rolling around in something.
Ladies and gentlemen, Guns N' Roses, first the tarp.
So he puts a tarp down and he beatboxes while the other girl sort of dances, but they have paint in their hand.
They have paint on their hand and their shoes.
Oh, right. And they're just walking and making a square out of the paint. And
like
making...
Tinky Winky, a Tinky Winky square.
Right.
Square.
And his beatboxing is impressive, but if you're just going to regularly beatbox, it's like, okay, we're watching something really weird.
And they're just putting, you know, orange paint wherever you feel it. And I wonder, like, she puts down her handprint and makes an orange paint sign, and then she thinks in her head, like, oh, I just fucked that up.
Yeah, that wasn't the right.
That wasn't deliberate. And they're like, oh, that was, and at the end, you see them, and what are you supposed to say at the end, you know? Because they're the ones making eye contact with you. For what? What am I going to say?
Yeah, after the show,
that was good.
That was...
I think I got it.
I felt that.
Yeah.
When you did that square, I felt like we were all in that square, and society was looking in on us, and I felt like you were really portraying that, because the way you were looking outside that square, man.
Oh, fuck you. You totally missed the point.
And by the way, the $5 sodas, that's, I mean, that's art. You got to support. You got to support. I wanna. Should I wait until Faceboy comes, if he ever comes, or should I talk about what I've seen at Surf Reality back in the day?
No, go ahead.
Okay, this is one of the, and this, my friend was visiting. She was a flight attendant, and it was Sunday night. And at that point, I was like, no, Sunday night I'm at Surf Reality every Sunday night. Faceboy's open mic. So I'm like, if you want to hang out, we can go to this open mic. And she just flew in for that night because she's a stewardess. Okay,
this is the place that me and the girl met each other.
Yeah.
We met each other at that place.
Yeah, and
you wouldn't think. You see like somebody taking a shit on stage that your potential lover might be in the audience.
Although it's a very incestuous home.
Yeah.
So we go there, and there used to be this one girl named La Rocco or L.A. Rocco or Laura, depending on the day. And if you called her the wrong thing on the wrong day, she gives you a nasty, dirty look. Anyway, there was heroin involved, and... she's an artist and she's pretty good. I've seen some good stuff. And she goes, today I'm going to draw for you and I have my period. And I'm like, no fucking way. And she gets on the floor.
Who was she today for future reference?
I can't remember. That's why I just go, hey, how are
you? Maybe that's why you weren't getting it.
Right. So she gets down. She's got a blank canvas in front of her. She pulls down her pants, pulls down her undies, puts two fingers in her vagina, and then draws with the blood. She draws. Would you like to guess?
A dick.
Is that, did I tell you?
No.
Yeah, she drew a penis.
Yes.
Are you serious?
That's what I would do.
You get it then. I didn't get it. You get
it.
And from then on, my friend always reminds me of that. Remember when you took me? And that's not a place that you take people. What the hell is wrong with me? And I always think like oh, and then living on the Lower East Side, right? I lived with like two really...
Straight-laced?
No. This one girl had like piercings and tattoos. And the other girl was very like, hey, we should all be blah, blah, blah. And feminist is this. And every time I watch TV with the, and I love them, especially the tattooed up one. Love her. She's so awesome. But every time I would watch TV with them, there was no watching TV. There was like, you see how we're being oppressed in this commercial? You see how we always like, we need to be the mother figure. We need to be at home doing laundry. What is it like? Oh my God. And it seeped into my brain. And I started when I watch television, I started going, am I being brainwashed that I need to have kids right now? Like, it's so nuts. So I thought they were pretty freaky, like just right. out there. And she collected toys, the one, and the other one, you know.
She collected toys?
Yeah, because she was kind of like a ravey thing. No, she collected like, hey, this is old school, like Hello Kitty, or you know what I mean? And so, and the house was very artsy, and everything was, she had a piercing on her vagina, you know? I'm not the weird one in this house. I feel like the straight person who they think is square. And then I bring them to surf and they're like, of course, come, this brings us to this weird place. And it's so weird. And because she's weird. And I'm like, I'm the weird one. I'm crazy. Like, I just think I'm being.
Your pussy has a hole in it.
I don't have a tattoo. I never drink. I never do drugs. I never like, no piercings. I don't even have piercings in my earlobes anymore because I can't take the time to put it in. But I go out and I say what I feel sometimes, and I'm the crazy one. Meanwhile, I walk in one day and my roommate's like, I just dropped acid half an hour ago. I do it like twice a year. It's a ritual. I'm like, okay, I'm weird.
That guy walking in a spiral might be too much.
By the way, I'm not the one on stage sticking my finger in the vagina. And then I know there was this other. Oh, I saw.
Everybody
this.
Loves that place, though. Like it doesn't.
I love it. Yeah.
You can be crazy. You can be straight.
We see some really straight people there.
My friend Adam, he doesn't have time for anything. He's not into stand up. He's not into shows like that.
He's into like drinking beer and playing video games.
Yeah. Loves that place.
Yeah, that's weird. You can bring like people get addicted.
Yeah,
we see sometimes like somebody comes in a suit and it's like, did you just come from work and. I don't know. It's weird. And then you see Big Mike. Big Mike can't be described. You got to come to Surf Reality, Collective Unconscious. Anyway, there was another time. This one woman decided, okay, she's on stage and she gets naked. And she's pretty good looking. Her body's great. And she goes, I want to be a chicken today. I'm like, okay, this cannot go where I think it's going to go. And it did. She's like, I want to hatch an egg. I want to lay an egg for you. Turns out she stuck an egg up her punani before she got on stage. And so she's doing the whole chicken thing, bawk, 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 and like doing the wings.
And it cracked inside her.
It did crack inside her.
Did it?
Did I tell you this?
No.
She didn't boil the egg. She didn't boil the egg before she got there. And she's trying to lay this egg, which I would imagine takes a lot of muscle. I mean, try even removing a tampon without your hands. She's just laying, just going, bawk, 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 and like waving.
Do you know how much she put it in? Like you couldn't see it?
No, she was naked and there wasn't a lot of hair involved, so it was in there. I couldn't see the egg. And then it cracks and then it starts like coming down. And now can you imagine taking a crack egg out of the inside of you?
I can't.
Oh my God.
So now is she freaking out like, oh, I didn't boil
She's
it?
Not really freaking out. And I'm like,
Was that deliberate?
No, because the next week, and I wasn't there the next
I
week
said,
for
hey,
this.
How's
no,
your pussy?
The next week she boiled the egg and did it again.
She learned her lesson.
Yeah.
I like that didn't stop her, though.
And then it turns, oh my God, this is the coolest thing.
It can still
thing.
Crack if it's hard boiled. You can get those shells in your pussy.
That's true.
Oh my God.
I'd freak out. I'd go to the hospital. She wasn't freaking out.
Was she good looking? Like, you can't fuck
her. She was good looking.
Shells in her pussy.
Oh, God.
That's what the Asians used to do to our men overseas when we tried to get them.
So, but get this.
They put shells in their pussy.
Get this. This girl, you know, wears like the artsy clothes and dyes her hair every other week and has like everything that you would imagine, like, you know, kind of a Lower East Side art star or whatever. Not all of them are like this, but she's that, right? Her twin.
That is so racist. To say.
And she's, I know. And she's like, and she's European. I think she had an accent. I think she was from England or something. Anyway.
If I saw her, I just would have saw a person.
Anyway, turns out she's got a twin sister. Her twin sister comes one time. She is the most straight person you would ever meet. She's dressed all conservative. Her hair is like mousy brown, and she's looking at her sister like she's crazy. And can you imagine looking in the mirror like, that's how I would look if I was punk? That's how I would look if I had a stick up my ass. Like, just how insane is that? And they're walking around like, we're twins.
They should do little tricks like, you only see one at a time. She's a weirdo on stage and she's normal outside, you know what I mean?
Oh, and then you think you're talking to the same person.
Yeah.
Then that would fulfill your fantasy of like somebody being crazy on stage and the normal outside stage.
That's the only way it can be done. That'd be awesome.
I'm trying to think of anything else that I've seen. This one guy used to climb. This isn't even so weird, but he used to climb. There was that almost like a table, but a very unstable one. So he used to get on it and do a backflip. And one time he didn't land right, and his nose started bleeding. He didn't move away from the table too much. Enough.
He's on top of the table and he backflips onto the floor.
Yeah. Oh, it's that guy that we saw on at Joey Gay's. No, not Joey Gay's thing. The Greg Wilson, the guy who hands out flyers. He used to do flips.
I don't know which guy that is.
Anyway, he's a comedian who just did flips when his set was bombing. He did a backflip.
Is he a funny comedian?
No, his set always bombed, and we always saw a backflip.
When you could just tell you have a bad crowd. Yeah. Like, hey, how you guys doing? Ah, oh, fuck it.
I gotta just do a backflip. Didn't you ever see weird things?
Yeah,
you kind of came after.
So many freaky. You still saw freaky shit. Either like you get. We said this before, but you get like good or bad blocks.
Right.
Usually
that's true.
You have
10 to 20
people, and it's just either amazing, the freakiest shit, or it's kind of boring, where they just roll on the ground and roll on the ground, and I get it.
And that's another thing. Like, you can't just bring people one time. You have to go, look, this time could suck ass. You could see nothing. You have to come three times in order to form an opinion.
And the next time, it can fucking suck ass, and that's awesome.
But what? I forgot. I lost my train of thought.
What other freaky shit?
Do you know any freaky shit that you can...
Tons of naked people. Tons of naked people.
They always get naked.
But then they always do something weird. They always do something weird.
Except for that one girl who just got naked just because she needed to get naked.
She started
to
getting
song.
Weird, too. She started being weird. She started having thoughts. I didn't like it. No, it's too weird. It's too weird. Like, you were asking me, can I have sex with somebody? I'm like, hold on a second. Let me let him talk.
That's...
You come into my house, and I'll cut off my tit and throw it at your face and shit all over you. That's what I'll do. And I have other thoughts in my head, like cutting off my pussy. I'm like, okay, I don't think I could...
In my defense, though, like, you always come up with something that maybe you could. Like, oh, yeah, she would just be so freaky in bed. You know, like, oh, she'd be, like, she gets on stage and she talks about how her father beat her and she starts crying. And you're like, oh, yeah, that'd be great if she was crying while I was fucking her. How am I supposed to know who you're going to fuck and who you're not going
to
fuck?
I'll tell you what, when it comes to these animals and you have them at home and the next morning you're missing a ball.
Oh, God.
You got to go, you know what? Shame on me.
And that's why you never had sex with anyone at Surf?
Yes.
Were you scared that I would go ballistic on you? We met there.
I know, because you never did anything freaky on stage.
Oh, I see.
Like, I was with people from Surf, but never anybody that was freaky was on stage that would roll around. If you roll on the ground, no.
I flashed on stage a couple of times.
Ho, ho, ho.
Before your time.
Did you cry when you were doing it, though?
On the inside.
Wow, that's different. That's everybody. That now that's hot. That I find sexy.
No.
That's the difference.
You make me cry on the inside while we have sex.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It works.
I like it. All right, so we don't have our phone, but we're going to get our phone soon. I don't know if we're going to have time to get it today. I don't know when they're coming.
I don't know when they're coming.
We have our appointment. But tomorrow, it'll be funny trying to hear him to talk.
Oh, I don't think they're going to pull out my teeth today. Oh, I'm going to, I don't know if I said this before, I'm going to NYU, the school.
The school where the kids do it.
Yeah.
But
you're calling them kids. Yeah. They're probably our age.
Right. I guess they got to go to school for a while.
I swear to God, I always picture like, oh, your teeth are so rotten, you could be Johnny's final and Mary's final. And then I really picture like...
They color your teeth different colors.
Yeah, this is Bob. Bobby, you're number blue. Your number blue, your color blue, and I picture like everyone being around and go, okay, who needed a root canal to graduate? Okay, you got this tooth. Who needed a pulling of the teeth? And then I'm picturing everyone watching as the person tries to like take actual pliers. They take pliers, don't they? I don't know. Maybe I'm being ignorant.
Sure. No.
It's pliers, and they pull it out while everyone's looking over you, and they probably don't have an anesthesiologist because that's not part of the school. I don't know. I have a feeling that they're going to numb me on the inside. They're going to give me gas, hopefully. I've never had gas, but I can't imagine that it would be very pretty. They're going to give me gas, and I'm going to have to watch everybody watch over me as they're pulling on my teeth.
I don't know that they do gas anymore.
Yeah, they do.
Do they?
We used to go to a doctor.
I never got it. I could have used it.
We used to go to a doctor while I worked for my brothers, and everyone went to the same dentist. And if you wanted to, for an extra...
Dr. Gas, they used to call him. He's the only one that, for an extra 20...
They loved it. People came back like, I got the gas. But no, for an extra like $50, because the shot for the numbing, that was for free, or that your insurance covered. But if you wanted gas, you had to pay for it. And I was too cheap to pay for it. And plus, I'm scared what gas is going to do to me. I'm scared of, like, anything that alters myself.
Right. Until your tooth starts hurting.
Oh, yeah.
Gas it up.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Marijuana. I don't care. Whatever it is.
You're going to be so puffy.
I am. And I'm afraid I'm going to be puffy for your show. Yeah. Which, by the way, April 15th, this Friday, if you're in New York, if someone you know is in New York, check out keithandthegirl.com. It tells you all the information. But April 15th. At 6:30, doors open at 6. They have great food there. It's $10 to get in. If you mention this show,
we'll do it. Yeah, Keith and the girl, $5.
Oh, we're gonna give them half price.
Yeah, why not?
All right.
Yeah. Sounds good. You were saying
we were gonna give them the bottle opener keychains.
You get the bottle opener keychain. You get $5. You mentioned Keith and the girl.
Fuck it.
You'll meet the girl at the door too.
Yeah, I'm gonna be taking the money at the door. But yeah, come on down. It's in the West Village at Sal's Comedy Hall. But go to keithandthegirl.com for information.
And we'll hang after.
Yeah, we totally will.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, totally. Probably Nice Guy Eddie's.
All right. All right, thanks, guys. We'll talk to you later.
Let's give the phone number, 206-3-FUCK-69. You could email us at keith@shite.com or chemda@chemda.com. I'm not spelling it. What else?
Whenever you call... leave your phone number so that when we
prank
have
you.
Our phone, we'll call you and say thanks for leaving your number.
Thanks for listening.
I am a star. I'm a star, I'm a star, I'm a star. I am a big, bright, shining star.
We're all stars now in the dope show.